The passage today features individuals who are breaking the rules. So let's read it and try and find out why. So it's Luke 7, verses 36 to 50. A Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat. In that town was a woman who lived a sinful life. She heard that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she bought an alabaster jar full of perfume and stood behind Jesus by his feet, crying and wetting his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. When the Pharisee saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who this woman is who is touching him. He would know what kind of sinful life she lives." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Yes, teacher," he said, "tell me." "There were two men who owed money to a moneylender," Jesus began. "One owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. Neither of them could pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Which one then will love him more?" "I suppose," answered Simon, "that it will be the one who has forgiven more." "You are right," said Jesus. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your home and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with a kiss, but she has not stopped kissing my feet since I came. You provided no olive oil for my head, but she has covered my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love she has shown proves that her many sins have been forgiven. But whoever has been forgiven little shows only a little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The others sitting at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" But Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What a dramatic dinner party. Do you think Simon was expecting to have some woman turn up who was weeping and kissing the feet of his guest? Sounds like something out of EastEnders. Let's look a bit closer at the characters within the passage. We have Simon, a Pharisee. Now, these were individuals who loved their rules. They had lots of them to guide their lives. Rules about when you could do certain things, what you could eat, who was considered clean and pure socially. It sounds very, very, very strict. Not all the rules they had were bad. For instance, as Lou said, they had quite strict rules on hospitality, obligating you to welcome strangers into your home and provide food and water. In the passage, Simon invited Jesus into his home. In doing this, many of the fellow Pharisees may have frowned on it a little bit. He was breaking with, tradition a little bit, and what was proper. He was engaging with Jesus, who wasn't exactly considered the most popular sort. But he did it in a sort of churlish way. He didn't really welcome him properly. Jesus says, "I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. You did not give me a kiss. You did not put oil on my head." Simon, he sort of bent the rules a little bit. He didn't really break them. He invited Jesus in, but he didn't properly welcome him. You can picture him back with his mates afterwards. "Yeah, I had Jesus over for dinner last night. I didn't give him a kiss. I didn't put any oil on him. You know, just no biggie." And then we come to our sinful woman, the heroine of our tale. Now, we don't know her name. She's never identified. But what a character. She is brave, tough as nails. Firstly, she comes to the home of Simon, the Pharisee. Now, many of you may be thinking, not a big a deal. He was obligated to have her. We just mentioned the laws of hospitality. But you've got to remember the other laws that went on at this time. Women in the Old Testament had a great deal more freedom than women in the New Testament. Women at this time were very controlled and restrained by the purity laws set out by the Pharisees. It was not considered needful for them to have formal religious education. They were much more isolated from society. They had to have a husband to facilitate their interactions within the community. So our heroine then was facing down a great deal of social stigma by turning up at Simon's house. Simon says, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Our heroine then goes further than just rocking up to this meal. She does what Simon does not. She provides Jesus with the welcome that Simon should have, and then some. She washes his feet with her tears. dries them with her hair, kisses them and anoints them with oil. She makes a scene. Imagine someone doing that in the UK. I get a bit uncomfortable if someone compliments me, let alone tries to wash my feet with their hair. Why then is our heroine breaking rules? And this is explained by Jesus, the third rule breaker in this drama. Now, from the start of the passage, Jesus acts against the social religious rules of the day. He engages with this sinful woman, allows her to express her love for him in those incredibly personal acts. Jesus is doing this quite purposefully. He is holding up the sinful woman as an example, specifically for Simon, but also for those others present at the meal, and us too. He uses the situation to engage with Simon and cause him to examine himself. Jesus speaks of two debtors, one whose debt is massive in comparison to the others, but irrespective of size, neither of which can pay. He asks Simon which one, once forgiven, will love the money lender more. Simon acknowledges that it would be the one with the larger debt, and Jesus is of course referring to Simon and our heroine, highlighting that neither is without sin. Both are in debt and neither can pay. So far in our passage, Jesus has engaged with a sinful woman, lectured a teacher of the law by comparing him to the sinful woman, and then he does something that really breaks the rules. He tells Simon that the reason for our heroine's outpouring of love towards him is because her sins have been forgiven. Now this is serious stuff. Jesus repeats his statement, makes it clear, your sins are forgiven. The assumption of power to forgive sins by Jesus runs throughout his ministry in the New Testament. Everyone he forgives, every time he does it, it rocks those around him. The other guests begin to say, who is this who can even forgive sins? So this passage then is full of rule breakers, full of people acting against the accepted standards of what is considered right and correct. Just to be clear, though, this doesn't mean that we should all go out and break every rule and every social convention that we come across. Sorry, kids, you've still got to listen to your teachers. What this passage demonstrates, though, is what Jesus made clear for us in Matthew 22, 35 to 40, and Mark 12, 28 to 34, which was read only this morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The sinful woman and Jesus in this passage then are breaking rules, the rules of men, but they were staying true to these commandments from Jesus himself. We're very fortunate in this country. We have a large amount of freedoms. In many countries around the world, a meeting such as ours this morning would break the law. In the Maldives, it is illegal to own a Bible. Who here has a Bible with them this morning? There's a stack placed at either door. In Saudi Arabia, church buildings themselves are forbidden. We wouldn't be sitting comfortably if we were living there. We are fortunate that to fulfill the greatest commandment requires often little sacrifice on our part. Our country's laws are liberal and often based on our own Christian teachings. There are, however, other rules. Rules within the workplace. Rules within the playground. Rules imposed by our friends sometimes. These rules can be just as restrictive as the laws of the country we live in. Who at work has felt pressured to engage in an activity that they feel goes perhaps against their Christian beliefs? Felt that speaking out against a policy might lose them a promotion? I remember as a child in the playground, there was one person we weren't supposed to talk to. She was different. She was a bit odd. Her name was Donna. I still remember her name and I can still picture her face. And to my shame, as a child, I was never brave enough to speak up and be her friend. So she was isolated and she left our school. And I sometimes wonder even now what happened to her. And I remember her as a challenge to myself not to be frightened to break a rule. The passage challenges our behaviour. We are called to be both rule breakers and yet also rule followers. When, and I do mean when, you find yourself in a situation where you are not quite sure how to act, how to respond to a situation, a rule that feels like it's curtailing your ability to act as a Christian. We should remember our unnamed heroine who anointed our Lord Jesus' feet, who broke man's rules that she might fulfill Jesus' great commandments. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for our friends and family, Lord. We thank you for our fellow Christians who can help us follow our path. And we ask that when we come across people, individuals, situations, times that we are feeling restricted by the rules and the laws around us, whether they be legal ones or social ones, we ask that you would grant us the courage of the anointed sinful woman who stood up for her beliefs and praised her Lord, irrespective of those around her. We ask that you would give us her bravery today as we go forth in this week. Amen.